The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, in an interview on CNN, still denies that there's any direct evidence that links the Saudi crown prince to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi.
Can you confidently tell his four children that he was not involved in that order?
Well, obviously, sitting in an unclassified setting, here's what I can say. I have read every piece of intelligence that is in the possession of the United States government. And when it is done, when you complete that analysis, there's no direct evidence linking him to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. That is an accurate statement, is an important statement, and it is the statement that we are making publicly today.
Why is it an important statement if all signs point to it? And the intelligence community widely believes that even though you don't have the smoking gun, that he was responsible, because certainly knew about it.
He's got the oil, because he can do whatever he wants, and he's a good high fiver. And Mike Pompeo, you remember, Mike Pompeo ran the CIA. So Wolf was like, well, but you ran the organization that is pretty sure he did it.
Did the CIA conclude with high confidence that he was involved?
I can't comment on intelligence matters, CIA conclusions. I didn't do it when I was the director. I'm not going to do it now.
Because you've seen all the reports in the media about that.
I've seen lots of reports in the media, Wolf. They often are untrue.
Does this one? Tell us if it's untrue.
He did write the op-ed for the Wall Street Journal explaining as much of his thoughts as he could, saying that the Saudi partnership and relationship is vital to U.S. interests.
Here's the problem. Transcripts are coming out of a conversation that was had between one of the guys involved in the murder and Mohammed bin Salman.
Mm-hmm. Crown Prince.
Yeah. And that's a problem. And so the evidence is coming out into the public sphere now. And as the evidence comes out, it just becomes more and more clear that he did have something to do with it. And the question is really a political one in the United States. You know, there obviously is one for, you know, to deal with, you know, the grief of the family of Jamal Khashoggi. But the political question in the U.S. is, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And is it really that important to continue to say to the Saudis, who are not going to park their money anywhere else? I mean, the idea is, well, we'll lose all this business and the price of oil will go up. And they could do that for any reason. You know, that's just because we let him get away with murder, literally, this time, doesn't mean in another couple of weeks he doesn't try to get away with something else. And then we go, yeah, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I don't think that previous administrations would have done this and worried about the consequences, because where are they going to go? They're not going to go do a military arms deal somewhere else. They can't do it. It's not. They've already bought our systems. They'd have to buy all brand new systems from the Russians that aren't as good. It wouldn't work. You can't. If you're going to buy new jets, they don't work with the jets that they currently have. They'd have to give all. They'd have to start all over again. And in terms of oil, they have to sell their oil, right? It's not like they're not going to sell their oil, and they're not. And if they want a market to put their money in, they're not going to choose a market other than the United States to be safe and to make money in. They have to come clean, and you have to ask for further reform if they are going to be that close of an ally. And if we're going to go sell them airplanes, don't we want to sell our military arms to people who may one day not be trying to kill our own soldiers with them?
Anyway. Seems logical.
Yes.
Number four.
Don't get me started. Now you got me started.
I thought the Bears were going to get you started and you'd never get off it, but you kind of calmed down from that.
Mm-hmm. Former mayor of New York City and current attorney to the President of the United States, Rudy Giuliani, a radio interview today, trashing Robert Mueller.
Well, I think the special prosecutor has stepped over the line now with the way he's intimidating people in order to tell what he believes is his version of the truth. When you look at Mr. Manafort, they've had him in solitary confinement for 5 to 6 months, I'd say, and they have repeatedly questioned him, and they have told him they don't believe him, and they want him to give certain forms of evidence that would implicate the president in things that Mr. Manafort says are untrue.
Mr. Manafort is accused of actually trying to get witnesses to change their story about him while he
That's not good.
Was actually already on when before they put him in jail awaiting sentencing. Now he's been convicted, but before that they put him in jail before he went to trial because he was out there reaching out to witnesses and the trial trying to get them to change their testimony. Really you're going to really Paul Manafort is the hill you're going to die on, Rudy Giuliani?
Each one of those times he has told them, I'm sorry, I can't tell you what you want to hear. So there's a point at which they're sending a terrible signal. An ethical prosecutor would stop this and pursue some other line of inquiry with other people. After all, he's just saying what everybody else has said. There's no evidence that the president was involved in any kind of collusion about the election.
I think that story's falling apart a little bit.
Why do you say that?
Oh, just because of everything.
The
idea that the president and the people around the president, that story that there was nobody in the campaign that was involved with the Russians at all, has changed completely here, right? Every time they push back, the White House push back, the Trump organization or whatever it is, has pushed back and said, we were never involved. There's nothing. There's no shred of anything. You could say that all you want. But every day, another ornament falls off that tree. They are not telling the truth about it. They weren't telling the truth then. They're currently not telling the truth. The question is, how far are they not telling the truth? I get it. Rudy Giuliani is paid to be the attorney. I understand. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The vice president offering the nation's condolences to the family of the late former President George H.W. Bush.
Then there's this zombie housing in Chicago, rotting, abandoned homes. What's being done to bring them back from the dead? WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
All right, Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
Former NFL player Kareem Hunt. Well, former as of yesterday. Kareem Hunt apologized in an interview with ESPN after a video released shows him pushing and kicking a woman. Hunt was cut from the Kansas City Chiefs following the video and lost his endorsement from Under Armour.
The kick. You kicking a woman while she was on the ground. You kicking a woman, period. How do you explain that?
You can't really explain it. The video shows it. I was in the wrong, and I'm not that type of person. I'm really disappointed and embarrassed for myself and for my family, and I really am taking action to learn from this and do everything possible to, you know, become a better man.
I think the NFL is also got his hands are not exactly clean over there because they heard about it, they investigated, but nobody could get the video for it until, and then nothing happens until there is a video. Just feels
I find it really hard to believe that
again.
NFL security did not get that video. Right. NFL security is second only to the CIA and FBI. As a matter of fact,
it's like they don't want to find the video.
Right. Well, they don't want to let it out. It's unclear. It's a private company, so it's unclear. We'll never know for sure.
No, the hotel stood behind it, unless there's a felony committed, and then we will turn it over to the police department, but that's our policy, and somehow TMZ got it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Great policy.
Yes. NFL security is a bunch of former FBI guys.
I'm sure they're excellent, but at some point the NFL might have had enough data to know that there was something that happened here, but it just feels as if at some point they drop the ball and decide that they don't want to. No, is the way it appears sometimes. And then suddenly, as soon as there's a video, then there's...
All right, I think we need a video now when it comes to this stuff.
Nobody, yeah, you do.
Nobody really believes it unless it's
nothing happened
on film.
Well, there's too much money at stake.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, let's see if somebody picks him up. I think somebody will because he's so young.
He's apologized.
Right.
It's all okay. I'm kicking a woman while she's pushing her down and then kicking her, coming over and kicking her. I mean, the push down was interesting because it was like a kinetic thing that happened because she was rushing forward. But then going and kicking her, this makes no sense.
Dumb. Bad.
Yeah, he bad. Bad on
Very
every
bad.
Level. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
After a few weeks off, Saturday Night Live returned with a brand new show, and they had a Trump-themed cold open with Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump. as well as a chorus of Trump world characters this week, including a vampire-styled Rudy Giuliani, bare-chested Vladimir Putin, and the Saudi crown prince.
God, I'm sorry, just I can't believe you and the crown prince of Saudi Arabia had that whole handshake yesterday.
Oh, what? That? That meant nothing to me. It was just a totally improvised handshake. I'm not, like, bros with him or anything.
Hey, Vladdy Daddy.
Wait, I thought I was your number one.
Oh, totally. You're not my side piece. You're like my main girlfriend. This Saudi guy is just a random hookup.
Wow.
Too much material.
Yeah. Although it is, the irony is certainly rich with the fact that we already had an Alec Baldwin incident in between, right? I mean, he's coming back now. He addressed that.
He did during
the piece, right? Mm-hmm. He sort of did it in the middle of the deal. It was like as the Trump character. He said, "You know, I haven't been this mad since that parking incident." But this is still that handshake was the incident seen around the world. It's the American
chills.
Empire basically just got called out, and the rest of the world's like, okay. And the G20 did the same thing. It's like, it's the G19 plus one. It's like, okay, we'll deal with you guys when you're back to being sane now.
You're talking about the Putin and Crown Prince handshake.
No, I'm talking about the United States of America.
Oh.
Right? I mean, Trump wasn't in a ton of those meetings.
Right.
The one thing that did get done, which was important, was the one with President Xi, where they put a timeout on the tariffs. But until that's finally done, nothing comes out of that. That's the first step in starting negotiation. But that could have been done unilaterally. All the rest of the stuff was just sort of like, okay, whatever this guy's going to be doing. It was not a particularly great moment for the U.S. And then to be able to make fun. I mean, there's an opportunity here that the president has now, especially as the nation's attention turns toward the funeral of a very respected president of the United States. He turns and maybe behaves a little differently. I mean, his excuse that he left the G20 and he didn't do a press conference because he wants to, you know, maintain the decorum. And they released a beautiful statement on the president's Twitter account over the weekend, right?
Totally did.
Right. But then the president this morning, going off on Mueller.
And Roger Stone, which some say is sort of, he's a witness, right, in the case. It seems like you maybe should stay away from that.
Right. He's saying that Roger Stone has guts, unlike some other people I know. Like Fat Betty over there. Although he seems to have lost a lot of weight. I don't think Michael Cohen has actually digested a meal in 4 months. I mean, come on. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It appears when you don't do a press conference that when you're leaving the G20 because of the death of a former president of the United States, and then you go on Twitter and you act like that, it seems like you are dodging the press conference and using the death of a president to dodge it. That is not appropriate.
Your focus isn't truly on a man lying in state and being respected by the country and honored.
And finally,
number one.
George H.W. Bush, the 41st president of the United States, whose steady hand and foreign policy vision led the nation through a period of sweeping global change, has died. Born into the tradition of service, Bush was a son of a senator, celebrated World War II combat pilot, student athlete, Texas oil man, Republican congressman, National Party chairman, pioneering diplomat, and spy chief. After his own 1980 presidential campaign came up short, he served two terms as Ronald Reagan's vice president before reaching the pinnacle of political power by winning the 88 presidential election. Soundly defeating Democrat Michael Dukakis after losing the White House in 92, Bush became a widely admired political elder who leapt out of airplanes to mark his birthday milestones, emphasized the generosity of his soul. He forged a close and unlikely friendship with the man who beat him, Bill Clinton. Clinton shared the contents of a letter that was left for him on the day of his inauguration.
I wish you great happiness here. There will be tough times made even more difficult by criticism you may not think is fair. I'm not a very good one to give advice, But just don't let the critics discourage you or push you off course. You will be our president when you read this note. I wish you well. I wish your family well. Your success is our country's success. I'm rooting hard for you.
How did you feel when you received that letter?
I thought it was vintage George Bush. I thought he meant it, but I also thought he was trying to be a citizen in the highest sense of the word. Mm-hmm. It was profoundly moving to me personally.
George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president of the United States, was 94.